Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
94 53 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That will cost you 30 cent. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Indeed, it is time for our parenting slot, and our oasis of wisdom, David Carey, joins us once again. David, good afternoon to you.
I am certainly an oasis, if nothing else.
Which is an oasis. Everyone likes to go to an oasis.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Nothing wrong with being an oasis. First question is this. My son is 4.5 and we have play dates regularly with his friends in our neighbourhood, both in our house and his friends' houses. He and his 2-year-old sister get along great during the play dates, but the problem is when it's time to come home, he refuses. He throws a real strop and won't leave, whining, running away from me, putting his arms down by his side, rooted to the spot, crying, etc. I've tried reasoning and being firm, but it always winds up in tears. One time he blocked our door and wouldn't let his friend and his mum leave our house until I picked him up and moved him. I've tried preparing him en route to the playdates, going through what I will say when it's time to leave, and we practiced this a few times until he asked if he could stop and just relax. Needless to say, the preparation approach didn't work. Please help. I'm out of moves and it's getting embarrassing, and it is an unpleasant way of ending what are otherwise lovely afternoons. Being overly hungry isn't an issue, as we have food during the playdates.
I'm afraid this calls for consequences.
Yeah.
You will have to be firm. You will have to arrive. You will have to pick him up if necessary and very quickly escort him out. And you will either prepare him in advance or tell him afterwards that because of his behavior, he may not go on the next playdate. And you may have to do that several times. But once he knows you mean business, he'll probably change his behavior.
Okay.
I also wonder if this is happening anywhere else in his life, or is it confined only to the little play dates with this one little particular play friend? You've done everything right, actually, preparing him for how he's going to leave, what time you're picking him up. You need the mom of the playmate also to prepare him 10, 15 minutes before it's time to collect him, so that he knows right there and then on the spot that we're coming up to collection time now. Let's get your toys together. Where's your coat? Let's put them by the front door. Everything he needs to bring home with him needs to be at the door to the family home so that you can go in. I'm afraid you're not going to be able to engage in a lot of pleasantries and chit-chat in the short term with your friend, because the stakes here are really high. You want him to understand that going home time means going home. If he's upset and cries, well, that's unfortunate, but he still has to go home, and you'll do it. Not a lot of words. The consequence is clear. You create a big fuss like this, son, and we can't have the next play date. And then you follow through on it, and you'll deal with the tantrum at home.
Yeah. When they're 4.5, I suppose it might take a while for him to learn the consequences.
It's going to take a while. I like what mom has done, because she's done the preparation part. We need to know a little bit more about this fellow, but I think you can deal with this. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be pleasant, and I know it's embarrassing, and it's an awful way to end a fun little playtime for the young fellow and for you. Do what's right. Be firm. Pick him up. Off to the car. He'll scream and carry on. So you've acted this way. What did we say? Next time, no play date. And show him on the calendar where the next play date was, so he knows what's coming up and he can see it visually, see how it goes. I bet you one or two lost play dates, the problem goes away.
Yeah, okay.
Consequences.
Right. Yeah, consequences. There
has to be some consequence some of the time. Not draconian. By the way, when you're picking him up, try to stay calm.
Yeah.
Low arousal. Don't lose your
Yeah, at 4.5, like, they could certainly put up a struggle.
Yeah.
And getting them into the car seat and all that stuff. And they do that straighty back thing.
That's
the worst.
You're kidding me. I lived with that for 4 years my youngest.
Oh, God. this will sound silly, but my daughter will not stop sticking things up her nose. She sticks up small pieces of Lego, including the Lego men, pebbles, food, fluff, you name it. It's been up there. It all came to a head 3 weeks ago when a Lego piece got stuck and we had to remove it in A&E. Oh, she was frightened and it hurt her. There was blood, which really scared her. But then this week, I saw her at it again. I really have no idea how to stop it, as a terrifying hospital visit doesn't seem to have done it.
I'm baffled. And I wonder if one of our listeners may be helpful here. I have no idea what's causing this kind of behavior. Is she fine everywhere else? How old is she, by the way? Do we know? No, we don't know.
No, it doesn't say, no.
Yeah.
So I'm suspecting
she's not in her 20s.
But it sounds like a sort of thing kids can do.
It is a thing kids could, but not a lot of kids do it. And, of course, it's now it's a danger point because she's already had one trip to A&E and a very painful and frightening experience.
Yeah, and it hasn't stopped her.
It hasn't stopped her.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is some kind of compulsive behavior that's driving this. Since we don't know what age she is, we don't know if you can talk to her about it and help her understand, does she get any kind of feeling of that, you know, it's impending, I have to do it. Obviously, you have to make the house safer.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to pick up all the Legos and small things and make sure the peanuts are locked in a jar, et cetera. Listeners, please help if you've gone through this. I don't know. Talk to the GP, by the way.
Mm.
One of my friends calls me talk to teacher,
yeah,
by the way, because I'm always saying talk to teacher. Every time he picks up the phone to call me, he says, talk to teacher. Talk.
Yes.
Now I'm saying talk to GP.
Yeah, that is a tough one, especially there's so many things she could stick up her nose.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. I wish I knew. If it was chewing things and inedible things and whatnot, that's a different thing. There's a condition called pica, or sometimes called pica, that causes that. But this nose business. Now, we also don't know how old the child is.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, I would suspect it's kind of toddler area,
I would
really
guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is getting serious now because that A&E business and blood and the pain.
Mm.
And it did nothing to stop her from doing it. So I wonder if this isn't some kind of compulsive drive she has to do that. Why do I say talk to GP? Because someone to have a look at the nose and the nasal passages may be necessary here.
Mm.
Is there some kind of irritation? Is she putting her fingers up her nose a lot?
Yeah.
Now, it's unlikely.
Mm.
But, I'm a great one for let's rule out the most obvious things before we go down the psychology side, you know?
Yeah.
So have that checked out, please.
Yeah. Just going back to our first question, this is the 4.5-year-old who kind of has a bit of a wobbly when it's time to leave a play date. Anne-Marie says, another mother gave me the tip of, we have to leave our friend's house with a smile on our face or we can't come back the next time. It worked great for us.
There you go.
So that's
but
that one.
The important part is you have to follow through. If you mean we can't come back next time, that's the consequence.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if I'd insist on a smile on the face. The goal is to get him out of the house without a huge wobbler.
Yeah.
Right? So, smile mightn't be necessary.
He won't be able to manage a smile, but if you can get, if he's halfway there, then happy days.
Yeah.
Someone says, as a kid, I did the nose thing. A bay leaf put an end to that. I assume they
done with the bay leaf?
I imagine the bay leaf went up the nose.
Yeah.
That's not too pleasant.
Dangerous.
No, indeed not. My son, 13 years old, keeps touching things. For example, tapping a wall of a shop before he leaves or tapping his foot in the ground before getting in a car, one foot out of the car before he sits in and things like that. Is this the beginning of OCD behavior? If so, what do I do?
Not much you can do about it. Talk to him about it. Ask him if he feels he absolutely must do that. He's 13 years of age. Any other signs of ritual tapping, touching, counting, etc.? Is it the beginning of OCD? It's certainly an OCD behavior.
Mm.
That doesn't mean it's OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, which is a separate entity in and of itself. There's lots of effective treatment for it. We don't usually treat these kind of things unless they are causing significant disturbance and disruption in the life of the child. That means, are there problems in school as a result of his need to tap and touch? Are there problems with mates and friendships? Are there problems out on the football pitch if he's playing football, etc.? It's minor right now. OCD, unfortunately, it tends to develop with a small thing, and it's like a snowball rolling downhill.
Mm.
It can get bigger and bigger. So this needs some watching. First step, I would say, sit him down. Ask him, does he know he's doing it, by the way?
Yeah.
And now, maybe he does. If he does, then you ask him, do you feel like you have to do it? What would happen if you didn't do it? What have you tried, son, not to do it? Maybe he's tried nothing. Maybe he doesn't regard it as a problem at all. And if he doesn't, you can end up creating more of a problem by making a big issue out of it. So first thing, conversation. Don't hit the panic stations yet. You don't need a psychologist, but I would monitor it over time.
And when you say OCD behavior, isn't necessarily the same as OCD. Can an OCD behavior, if left untended, so to speak, develop into OCD?
I suppose it could, but a lot of OCD traits and characteristics are quite productive. I mean, if you're an accountant who's very obsessive about things, you've got an OCD behavior that's going to work handsomely for you. If you're an engineer designing bridges, et cetera, you want to be double, triple, quadruple checking everything. So not everything is a disease or maladaptive. And it doesn't sound like it's significantly interfering with his life yet. That's really the major issue here. Are these things a significant interference with the boy's major tasks in life, which is number one, school, two, family, three, community? If he's navigating and negotiating all those three spheres of his life with relative ease, then we kind of leave it and monitor, see that it doesn't get worse. But you do need to talk to him about it. That's important.
Yeah.
Very often, people with these kind of things feel as though they have to do it. And if they don't do it, something horrible will happen. Sometimes doing a little bit of conversation and unpacking the whole behavior and what it means to the individual can lead you to some successful interventions or even stop it. Is it a big problem yet? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's minor.
Yeah.
Foot tapping before getting into the ground.
Going back to the first question, the young fella who doesn't like leaving play dates. Leaving a play date with my daughter when she was about five, I knew by her that she didn't want to go. When I sternly said, time to go, she looked at the other mother and said, please don't let her take me, I'm scared. Needless
oh,
to say, I still get strange looks from this woman. Wow, that's one clever daughter you've got there.
Yes, indeed.
And the second question about the child putting things up her nose. This won't, the person who asked that question, this text won't make you feel any better. When my sister was about two, she used to do it. Her breath stank and it finally came to a head when the doctors discovered rotting blanket pieces and food and had to operate to get it out.
Jeepers.
Oh,
that's going to frighten the heck out of that mother that sent in the question.
I'm sorry about that, but at the same time, it's worth being aware that, you know, it can.
Yeah.
It can get
Let's
that
have
bad.
That nose and nasal passage looked at by your GP.
Yeah.
And maybe even a referral to an ENT specialist to see if there's some kind of irritation going on in there. I don't know.
And Maven Cork has a question. She says, how do you get your three-year-old to stop talking while you're listening to David Carey? Well, we'll give you a couple of minutes to think about that back then. 1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That will cost you 30 cent. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Indeed, it is time for our parenting slot and our oasis of wisdom. David Carey joins us once again. David, good afternoon to you.
I am certainly an oasis, if nothing else.
Which is an oasis. Everyone likes to go
something.
To an oasis.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Nothing wrong with being an oasis. First question is this. My son is 4.5 and we have play dates regularly with his friends in our neighbourhood, both in our house and his friends' houses. He and his two-year-old sister get along great during the play dates, but the problem is when it's time to come home, he refuses. He throws a real strop and won't leave, whining, running away from me, putting his arms down by his side, rooted to the spot, crying, etc. I've tried reasoning and being firm, but it always winds up in tears. One time he blocked our door and wouldn't let his friend and his mum leave our house until I picked him up and moved him. I've tried preparing him en route to the play dates, going through what I will say when it's time to leave, and we practiced this a few times until he asked if he could stop and just relax. Needless to say, the preparation approach didn't work. Please help. I'm out of moves and it's getting embarrassing, and it is an unpleasant way of ending what are otherwise lovely afternoons. Being overly hungry isn't an issue, as we have food during the playdates.
I'm afraid this calls for consequences.
Yeah.
You will have to be firm. You will have to arrive. You will have to pick him up if necessary and very quickly escort him out. And you will either prepare him in advance or tell him afterwards that because of his behavior, he may not go on the next playdate. And you may have to do that several times. But once he knows you mean business, he'll probably change his behavior.
Okay.
I also wonder if this is happening anywhere else in his life, or is it confined only to the little play dates with this one little particular play friend? You've done everything right, actually, preparing him for how he's going to leave, what time you're picking him up. You need the mom of the playmate also to prepare him 10, 15 minutes before it's time to collect him so that he knows right there and then on the spot that we're coming up to collection time now. Let's get your toys together. Where's your coat? Let's put them by the front door. Everything he needs to bring home with him needs to be at the door to the family home so that you can go in. I'm afraid you're not going to be able to engage in a lot of pleasantries and chit-chat in the short term with your friend, because the stakes here are really high. You want him to understand that going home time means going home. If he's upset and cries, well, that's unfortunate, but he still has to go home, and you'll do it. Not a lot of words. The consequence is clear. You create a big fuss like this, son, and we can't have the next play date. And then you follow through on it, and you'll deal with the tantrum at home.
Yeah. When they're 4 and a half, I suppose it might take a while for him to learn the consequences.
It's going to take a while. I like what mom has done, because she's done the preparation part. We need to know a little bit more about this fellow, but I think you can deal with this. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be pleasant, and I know it's embarrassing, and it's an awful way to end a fun little playtime for the young fellow and for you. Do what's right. Be firm. Pick him up. Off to the car. He'll scream and carry on. So you've acted this way. What did we say? Next time, no play date. And show him on the calendar where the next play date was, so he knows what's coming up and he can see it visually, see how it goes. I bet you one or two lost play dates, the problem goes away.
Yeah, okay.
Consequences.
Right. Yeah, consequences.
There has to be some consequence some of the time. Not draconian. By the way, when you're picking him up, try to stay calm.
Yeah.
Low arousal. Don't lose your
rack. Yeah, at 4 and a half, like, they could certainly put up a struggle.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And getting them into the car seat and all that stuff. And they do that straighty back thing.
Oh,
That's the worst.
You're kidding me. I lived with that for 4 years my youngest. Yeah.
Oh, God. this will sound silly, but my daughter will not stop sticking things up her nose. She sticks up small pieces of Lego, including the Lego men, pebbles, food, fluff, you name it. It's been up there. It all came to a head 3 weeks ago when a Lego piece got stuck and we had to remove it in A&E. Oh, she was frightened and it hurt her. There was blood, which really scared her. But then this week, I saw her at it again. I really have no idea how to stop it, as a terrifying hospital visit doesn't seem to have done it.
I'm baffled. And I wonder if one of our listeners may be helpful here. I have no idea what's causing this kind of behavior. Is she fine everywhere else? How old is she, by the way? Do we know? No, we don't know.
No, it doesn't say, no.
Yeah.
So I'm suspecting she's
not in her 20s.
But it sounds like a sort of thing kids can do.
It is a thing kids can, but not a lot of kids do it. And, of course, it's now at the danger point, because she's already had one trip to A&E and a very painful and frightening experience.
Yeah, and it hasn't stopped her.
It hasn't stopped her.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is some kind of compulsive behavior that's driving this. Since we don't know what age she is, we don't know if you can talk to her about it and help her understand, does she get any kind of feeling of that, you know, it's impending, I have to do it. Obviously, you have to make the house safer.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to pick up all the Legos and small things and make sure the peanuts are locked in a jar, etc. Listeners, please help if you've gone through this. I don't know. Talk to the GP, by the way.
Mm.
One of my friends calls me talk to teacher,
by
the way, because I'm always saying talk to teacher. Every time he picks up the phone to call me, he says, talk to teacher. Now I'm saying talk to GP.
that is a tough one, especially there's so many things she could stick up her nose.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish I knew. If it was chewing things and inedible things and whatnot, that's a different thing. There's a condition called pica, or sometimes called pica, that causes that. But this nose business. Now, we also don't know how old the child is.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, I would suspect it's kind of toddler area, really.
I would guess so, But this is getting serious now, because that A&E business and blood and the pain. And it did nothing to stop her from doing it. So I wonder if this isn't some kind of compulsive drive she has to do that. Why do I say talk to GP? Because someone to have a look at the nose and the nasal passages may be necessary here. Mm. Is there some kind of irritation? Is she putting her fingers up her nose a lot?
Yeah.
Now, it's unlikely, But you know, great one for let's rule out the most obvious things before we go down the psychology side. You know? So have that checked out, please.
Yeah. Just going back to our first question, this is the 4.5-year-old who kind of has a bit of a wobbly when it's time to leave a play date. Anne-Marie says, another mother gave me the tip of, we have to leave our friend's house with a smile on our face or we can't come back the next time. It worked great for us.
There you go.
So that's
but
that one.
The important part is you have to follow through. If you mean we can't come back next time,
that's
the consequence.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, I don't know if I'd insist on a smile on the face. The goal is to get him out of the house without a huge wobbler.
Yeah.
Right? So, smile mightn't be necessary. Maybe
no,
let's
but,
just
yeah,
leave
won't
politely.
Be able to, yes, he won't be able to manage a smile. But if you can get, you know, if he's halfway there, then happy days.
Yeah.
Someone says, as a kid, I did the nose thing. A bay leaf put an end to that. I assume they
what
put
what was him, done with the bay leaf?
I imagine the bay leaf went up the nose.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not too pleasant.
Dangerous.
No, indeed not. My son, 13 years old, keeps touching things. For example, tapping a wall of a shop before he leaves or tapping his foot on the ground before getting in a car, one foot out of the car before he sits in and things like that. Is this the beginning of OCD behaviour? If so, what do I do?
Not much you can do about it. Talk to him about it. Ask him if he feels he absolutely must do that. He's 13 years of age. Any other signs of ritual tapping, touching, counting, etc.? Is it the beginning of OCD? It's certainly an OCD behavior. Mm. That doesn't mean it's OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, which is a separate entity in and of itself. There's lots of effective treatment for it. We don't usually treat these kind of things unless they are causing significant disturbance and disruption in the life of the child. That means, are there problems in school as a result of his need to tap and touch? Are there problems with mates and friendships? Are there problems out on the football pitch if he's playing football, etc.? It's minor right now. OCD, unfortunately, it tends to develop with a small thing, and it's like a snowball rolling downhill.
Mm-hmm.
It can get bigger and bigger. So this needs some watching. First step, I would say, sit him down. Ask him, does he know he's doing it, by the way?
Yeah.
And now, maybe he does. If he does, then you ask him, do you feel like you have to do it? What would happen if you didn't do it? What have you tried, son, not to do it? Maybe he's tried nothing. Maybe he's doesn't regard it as a problem at all. And if he doesn't, you can end up creating more of a problem by making a big issue out of it. So first thing, conversation. Don't hit the panic stations yet. You don't need a psychologist, but I would monitor it over time.
And when you say OCD behavior, isn't necessarily the same as OCD. Can an OCD behavior, if left untended, so to speak, develop into OCD?
I suppose it could, but a lot of OCD traits and characteristics are quite productive. I mean, if you're an accountant who's very obsessive about things, you've got an OCD behavior that's going to work handsomely for you. If you're an engineer designing bridges, et cetera, you want to be double, triple, quadruple checking everything. So not everything is a disease or maladaptive. And it doesn't sound like it's significantly interfering with his life yet. That's really the major issue here. Are these things a significant interference with the boy's major tasks in life, which is number one, school, two, family, three, community? If he's navigating and negotiating all those three spheres of his life with relative ease, then we kind of leave it and monitor, see that it doesn't get worse. But you do need to talk to him about it. That's important.
Yeah.
Very often people with these kind of things feel as though they have to do it. And if they don't do it, something horrible will happen. Sometimes doing a little bit of conversation and unpacking the whole behavior and what it means to the individual can lead you to some successful interventions or even stop it. Is it a big problem yet? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's minor.
Yeah.
Foot tapping before getting into the ground.
Going back to the first question, the young fella who doesn't like leaving play dates, leaving a play date with my daughter when she was about five, I knew by her that she didn't want to go. When I sternly said, time to go, she looked at the other mother and said, please don't let her take me. I'm scared.
Needless to say,
I get strange looks from this woman. Wow, that's one clever daughter you've got there.
Yes, indeed.
And the second question about the child putting things up or not. knows. This won't, the person who asked that question, this text won't make you feel any better. When my sister was about two, she used to do it. Her breath stank and it finally came to a head when the doctors discovered rotting blanket pieces and food and had to operate to get it out.
Jeepers. Oh, well, that's going to frighten the heck out of that mother that sent in the question.
I'm sorry about that, but at the same time, it's worth being aware that, you know, it can. It can
Let's
get that
have
bad.
That nose and nasal passage take looked at by your GP.
Yeah.
And maybe even a referral to an ENT specialist to see if there's some kind of irritation going on in there. I don't know.
And Maven Cork has a question. She says, how do you get your three-year-old to stop talking while you're listening to David Carey? Well, we'll give you a couple of minutes to think about that back then.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering. Recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie